Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayetze, we see Chanukah coming towards us. We know Parshas Mikesis Chanukah, so it's almost here. With that in mind, let's talk about Parshas Vayetze. All of the ideas I want to discuss with you today are the beginning of the Parsha. I'd like to share with you first a thought from Rav Druk. Rav Druk makes the point that the parsha begins, Vayetze Yaakov Me'Be'er Sheva, Yaakov left. Of course, this follows the previous parsha, where it says, V'yishma Yaakov Alav V'Velimai V'Yelech Paden Aram. It says he left. However, there are two psukim in between. It tells us about Esav's marriage, Vayar Esav, V'Yelech Esav. We've learned a little about Esav's life. And that seems to interrupt, because it's the end of a parsha, beginning of a parsha, it really goes over our head. But really, there should be no interruption. One should follow the other. Why does it interrupt with Esav? Now, we really have something very, very similar. In the end of Parshas Vayera is the Akedah. The beginning of Chayasara is the burial of Chana, as Chayasara, which, you know, happened. Sarah died right when they came back from the Akedah. And it interrupts. There is not two psukim, there is five psukim. And it talks about the fact that that Nachar, the brother of Avraham Avinu, had a beautiful family. Why does it interrupt here and there? What is the depth or the meaning of interrupting in the middle of a story? So Rav Druk tells us something that makes it very, very much a practical idea, something that we can identify with, and that is this. This world is full of challenges. There's a lot of pain in this world. A lot of people have disappointments. A lot of people, everybody has some disappointments in life. That's the way it is. A person's an Eved Hashem, he has Nisyanos, he has challenges. What's difficult is the pain of why Rishayim, why people who are not nearly as careful in mitzvahs and in davening and in learning, why they should be successful. It's a very, very difficult thing to see. Now, the truth is that tzaddikim tchilasan yesurim misayfan shalva. We say about a righteous person in this world, we see this world as a hallway, prized are leading to something that's much greater and much more significant. And therefore, we understand that to accomplish, a person goes through challenges in life, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu presents challenges, all types of challenges. Rishoyim, people who don't have that outlook on life, so Kodesh Baruch Hu, sometimes they're challenged too, but very often they have a nice, calm, easier life. And certainly that was true about the Avos. The Pasuk here wants to present to us what Yaakov went through. Here it is, Yaakov sitting and learning his whole life. He gets the brachas, and now he has to run. He's really running for his life, and he has to run to Esav. He's being very, very challenged. And look at this. Esav sees his father's desires. He goes out. They have to work for 7 years. He goes, he gets himself a Bas Yishmael, and he marries her. Chick-chack. And here Yaakov has to go through this whole long ordeal. The Torah wants to tell us that that's the derech of the world. The derech of the world is that a righteous person is challenged. A good person is challenged. You don't have to be Yaakov Avinu. A regular frum yid has challenges in life. We're here in this world to work through challenges, to work through difficulties, to lift heavy weights. You lift heavy weights, you get muscles. That's Olam Hazeh. So the Torah does it twice. It does it by Avram as well. Look at Avram's tzaris. And so many issues. He has to wait so long to have a child, and then he's commanded to go to the Akedah, and then finally his child survives the Akedah, and his wife dies. So Pasuk tells us, look at this, look at his brother Nachar. Nachar, beautiful family, nice kids, nice generations. The Torah is telling us that's the way of the world. The way of the world is that tzaddikim tchilasan yisurim v'sayfan shalva. Rishayim, that it's the way of the world. The Torah wants to present this to us in a way that we understand the halach yelach, the way our avos live their lives, the jealousy that could have been. Yaakov is so jealous of Esav. And Yaakov rolled up his sleeves and did what he had to do, which is what Jews do in every generation. We do what we got to do without making God's cheshbonos for him. Let us move on to a second significant thought. To get to this thought, I have a kasha, and I'd like first to review the Dvar Torah that I said on Parshas Vayera, which comes from Rav Schwab Sefer. Although I believe in Rav Schwab Sefer, it's not on Parshas Vayera, but it's later on the Pasuk, Achrei Levavchem Vechrei Inechem. Be that as it may, Rav Schwab said about the Akedah that Avraham Avinu came, he saw Har HaMoriah, he saw Anan Kosher Alahar, he saw the Shekhinah on the mountain. He brings a medrash. He turned to Yitzchak. He said, "What do you see?" And Yitzchak said, "Anan kosher alhar. I see a shechina on that mountain." Then he turned to Eliezer and Yishmael. He said, "What do you see?" And they said, "Well, we see stones. We see trees." See, they didn't see the shechina. So Avram said to them, "Atem teshu poyim achamar. You stay here with the donkeys, and I'm going to go up the mountain with Yitzchak," as if to say, the donkeys also don't see a shechina there. You don't see a shechina. Where are you going? You stay right here. We who see the shechina will go up to Har HaMoriah. This is the thought, the idea, that two people look at the same thing and someone who's in tune to Kedusha could see more. Adkan, what we said in the past. Now I have a kasha. Yaakov Avinu comes to the same mountain and he doesn't see the shechina. He doesn't realize there's anything special about the mountain. Sarachi and Godel, what's going on? How could it be that Yaakov doesn't know that it's Har HaMoriah? So I remember seeing the following answer. The Har HaBayis, the Har HaMoriah, sits in a very special place. There's Yerushalayim Shalmaila and Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's a heavenly Yerushalayim and an earthly Yerushalayim. And between them is a portal, is a door, is an opening, where tefillos go up, and where ashpa comes down. And that is what a person feels when you go to the kaisa and you feel something, and you feel that you're in a place that has awe. That's what you're feeling. You're feeling the opening to the heavenly, to the spiritual Yerushalayim. What happened here is that Har HaMoriah moved. It moved towards Yaakov. And since it moved towards Yaakov, miraculously, it was no longer opposite Yerushalayim Shalmaila. And therefore, Yaakov didn't feel it. Because Taka, the Mokem HaShechina did not go along with the mountain. The body of the mountain moved, but the Mokem HaShechina didn't move along with him. So therefore, Yisrael HaDvarim is this idea, is this concept that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. You see the Shechina there. When it's Keneged, the Yerushalayim Shalmaila, which means the Beis HaMikdash, which is right above, which is right higher, which is right above. We learned Yecheskel, and we learned the rather confusing description of where Yerushalayim will be lost at Lavai. And the Pesukim are far from clear that the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim would be at its current location. When we learned today, Rashi said that Yerushalayim will be in its current location. The Beis HaMikdash not, but Yerushalayim, yes. Why Yerushalayim, yes? According to this, we understand it has to be mechuvin keneged to Yerushalayim Shalmaila, and that has to take place. And so, two thoughts on the beginning of the parasha. Let me go on to a third, which more than anything is a marimokim, an opportunity to learn something really gishmak. Again, I refer back to a Dvar Torah from a previous week on Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu went to the yeshiva of Aver to learn for 14 years. Rabbi Yaakov asked, why did he go to learn 14 years? He learned 63 years. Not time to get married. You need 14 more years. And Rabbi Yaakov answered, no. For 63 years, he learned Teirasei Shel Yitzchak. He learned Yitzchak's Beis HaMedrash. The Beis HaMedrash of Menuchas HaNefesh. The Beis HaMedrash of a calm person. Now he's heading out to Lavan, where he'll be challenged. He needs to learn the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver. Shem and Aver, they lived in a time where they lived with evil people. They lived among evil people. They had to put up with people. that Nisayan that Yaakov is heading to is going to live with Lavan, with Bisuel, with crooked and evil people. So for that, he needed to learn Teirasai Shel Shem Ve'Aver. What Rabbi Yaakov is saying is that there are different kufis in a person's life. There are different time periods. And there's a time period to learn Teirasai Shel Yitzchak. And now he suddenly found out he's got to go out to Lavan and Bisuel. So he has to learn Teirasai Shel he Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver, and therefore that's what he did. This theme that a person has to recognize the kufis in his life was a constant theme of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We heard it from him many, many times. I would like to give you a great Maramachim. There's a journal, Eraisa, published in Eretz Yisrael. And in the 18th volume of Eraisa, there is published as the last piece in this Sefer, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Hesped on Rabbi Cheskel Abrahamsky. And there he talks about the idea of Tkufais Tkufais Yesh, something he spoke about all the time, that there are different time periods, not only there are time periods that are different than Klal Yisrael, time periods that are different in individuals, persons' lives, life. And he talks about the idea of there being tekufis. And he says the following amazing observation. He talks about the difference between the tekufa of pre-Holocaust and post-Holocaust in the Torah world. And he says the following. He says pre-Holocaust, the manhigim, the teachers, were the rabbanim. Not the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva or Gedalim. But those who are Mani Klal Yisrael were the Rabbanim. The Ksei Sechayshin was a Rav. Nesivis was a Rav. Rabbi Kiva Eger was a Rav. Rabbi Yehuda was a Rav. These were Rabbanim. And they were the Manhigim of Klal Yisrael. A change has taken place. In the post-Holocaust world, there's Tekufais Tekufais Yesh. Now, the Manhigim are for the most part the Rosh Yeshiva. You go to a wedding, the Mesadush is the Rosh Yeshiva. Why is that so? Because a person needs to connect through Torah, needs to connect through learning. We already live in a post-Holocaust world. We live as exposed to the nations of the world as could be. We don't have any of that sort of ghetto protection or that inner connection. We live in a world that's wide open for all of us. And the connection has to be won through Torah. And that nekuda, that point, is a point of tekufais, tekufais yesh, which applies to us today. Rabbi Yaakov goes through, not really, in that piece, and explains how the tekufa of Yeshua was different than the tekufa of Shaftim, different than the tekufa of Shmuel, etc., historically. As a practical matter in our world, you've got to connect to your learning. You're going to be a boat, a rudderless boat. Now, I don't say, God forbid, you can't connect to your Rav. Many people have Rabbanim they connect to. But if you want to connect in a meaningful way, you have to learn this Torah. You've got to learn this Torah. And if you're into his Torah, you're into his learning, you'll have a connection to him. That is the Tekufais Tekufais Yesh that we have, Baruch Hashem. And so, with these three separate thoughts, all on the beginning of the parasha, I would like to wish one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. Kodesh Parsha Sayyeh, may we be Zeicha in this wide open world to make it Eretz Yisrael, to live among Yidden, among Klal Yisrael, to live among Yidden who are Chredim with Var Hashem. May we have that great and awesome Zechus, our good Shabbos to one and all.